We talked this morning a little bit about our responsibilities toward God, and as we think about that, I shouldn't leave here without making some suggestions to you as to things you might could do on a daily basis that might help you to be a better able to serve God, or might equip you better in that ability to serve God. And so this afternoon, for a short time, since I stole some time from you this morning in the sermon, I'm going to give it back to you this afternoon, but I want us to look for a little bit at some things that we might be able to do to make us better servants of God, or to make us more apt or able to know the things that God wants us to know and the things that God wants us to do. So I'm just going to make four simple suggestions to you this afternoon, and I'll leave those with you. Number one, if you want to really be on your way to serving God and being effective in His kingdom, then you need to let God say something to you every day. You need to take some time, take an opportunity away from maybe your family, from the busy work schedule, whatever it is you have, and you know your schedule, you know your time. And take some time to spend some time reading God's Word. That's the way God speaks to us today. There's been times when I wanted Him to speak to me when I was on an elevator, but He didn't. We got off the elevator, but I thought for a while we weren't going to make it. God speaks to us in His Word, and we should be letting God speak to us regularly. I know we have busy lives, and I don't want to compare activities, but I'm a pretty busy person too. To be honest with you, that'd probably be why it's been 15 years since I've been down here. I just get busy. But there's times in my day when I could take time to study God's Word, when I could just read it, learn something that He has to say. There are many people, sadly enough, in this world, and many people in our congregations that go day after day after day, and they never look into God's Word. They never open up the book. And I'm going to tell you that the Bible that we have is God's way of speaking to us, and when we do not go to this book, when we do not look into it, then we're actually refusing to allow God to speak to us, and we're not speaking to Him. I know that all of you have these wonderful marriages and these wonderful things with your kids. Y'all never get mad at each other. You never say a cross word. But there are times, I don't know, in my life, when I've had friends and people that I got mad at and I didn't want to speak to them. I needed some time to just ignore them, be away from them. But God should never be that way for us. There should never be a time when we do not want to hear from God and what He has to say to us. We should be anxious to listen to what God has to say. I would almost bet you, if we were doing that kind of thing, that there are TV programs that you like to watch on television, and you either record those or you make it home in time because you are anxious to see what the next episode holds. Are we anxious to hear about God and hear from God? And there are some amazing stories in the Bible. I think about those first century Christians and how the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul preached to them. The Bible says that they were pricked in their hearts, they were cut to their hearts. How many of us, there was the last time when we read the Scriptures and we allowed God to actually touch our heart with the things that were taught, or the things that we learned from the words of God? By listening to God, we have an opportunity to step out of the darkness of this world and into the light, to be that light. Psalms chapter 119, Psalms 119 verses 105 through 106, the psalmist David says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments." Is God's word a light unto our path? Do we look at it as a way to lead us in the path that we should go? I can tell you right now, it's going to be dark when I get home. And you know what I did not do? I did not leave the porch light on. It's going to be dark. I've got 3 steps to walk up. I'll have 2 hands full of luggage. And I've got to put a key and a lock and unlock the door. I need a light. This world that we live in, you think back to Noah and the time that he lived, and the Bible says that the thought and imagination of every man's heart was evil continually. What do you think about this earth today? Is it that much better? Can't be. You and I need the light to guide us. We need God's word to light our path. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, John says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sin. Are we in the light? We claim to be Christians. We are Christians. Do we walk in the light? Do we allow God's word to illuminate our path? So many times in this life, when we have a problem, when we have an issue, instead of going and speaking to God, we go to some self-help book that's written by some man. Go to God's word. Listen to him. Listen to what he has to say to us. John chapter 1, verse 9, speaking about Jesus, John says that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus will light our path if we'll go and listen to what he says to us through the Scripture. In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, again the psalmist David said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law, and on his law, doth he meditate day and night. None of us is above our need to search the Scriptures. You know, most of us spend our jobs working out in the world. And we come in contact with some people who are not really good characters. We can go into the Old Testament, we can read about some people who are really good characters, but we can also read about some bad ones. And you and I run into those people every day, and the conversations that they have and the way that they saturate our lives with their comments and the vulgarity that exists on television and in other printed sources, we need some time in God's Word. We need that light. We need to search the Scriptures. The Bible says there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, they were acknowledged as being dedicated to God. Acts 17, verse 11, the writer says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. We talked about lots of things this morning. We could look at lots of Scriptures. I could write a lot of them on the board. I could summarize them, paraphrase them, and anything else you wanted to say. The question is, what do we do when we get home with these things? Do we study them? Do we apply them to our lives? We look for ways that we can grow. We should search the Scriptures, not just giving them a glance. I think it's interesting. Some friends of mine told me that they were doing this thing. That's what their words, not mine. This thing where you read a verse from the Bible every day. Okay, that's good. What did it say? Oh, I don't know. What was today's verse? I don't know. But I get it on my phone. Okay? Get it on your phone. Get it in a Bible. But we need to get it in our hearts. We need to get it in our minds. We need to study God's Word. We need to let God speak to us. And if you want to be successful in this life as a Christian, you're going to let God speak to you every day. You're going to find time to have a conversation with Him, just like you would find time to have a conversation with your wife, your husband, your kids, whatever it is, your boss at work. We need to say something to God every day. I am not an expert on a lot of topics, and I suspect that I would not be considered an expert on marriage. That's what people tell me since I was never married. But I suspect that it requires communication. Two people living in the same house require some type of communication. You have to talk to each other. You have an opportunity to talk to God. Do you use that opportunity? I think about Moses and the opportunity. What an awesome opportunity he had to speak to God. I mean, it was like face to face. I don't know that I want to do that. But you know what? I can take God's word. God can speak to me. And then at some point in my day, once or twice maybe, do we have time? We could sit quietly, whether it's in a chair or kneeling down on the floor, and speak to God. You know, God wants to hear from us. We're His children, and He wants to hear from us. It's important to God that we speak to Him every day. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18, again, the Apostle Paul says, "Pray without ceasing. With everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This is God's will. Give thanks every day. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Does that mean that when I get up in the morning, I should start a prayer and keep it open? Like we do a Word document on our computer till we get home that night, sign out, say amen. We need to make time to pray to God. Surely we have time. I'm going to tell on myself. I teach school. I've told you that already. I get to school. We don't start school till nearly 9 o'clock. We don't get out till nearly 4:30 either, so it's not a good deal. Get excited. But I get there. I try to get there before traffic because 9 o'clock there's traffic. So I leave my house at 7. I get to school sometimes before 8 o'clock. I'm there for over an hour. What am I doing? I tell you, I've got this really good office chair. I paid $20 for it back in 1993. And I can lean back in that chair, put my foot on a drawer. I can shut my eyes and relax until the bell rings. I have an hour for lunch. I'm supposed to have kids, but they're not coming to tutorials. Let's don't kid ourselves. What am I doing for that hour? Well, you know, I've got that chair and that drawer. What could I be doing? Yes, it's a public school. And yes, I am free to pray there if I choose to do so. You work, you're at home, whether you're a homemaker, whether you have a job, there is time in your day because it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be a long conversation with God. We just need to have one. Someone told me once, this is not mine, they told me this, prayer will stop sin, or sin will stop prayer. We can pray to God and ask for help. The Bible tells us that He will help us. Or we cannot speak to Him, and we can let the sins in our life overtake us and drown us. When we turn away from God by closing our hearts and minds to Him and do not speak to Him, God doesn't have any opportunity to hear us. He talks about those who turn their hearts away from Him in Proverbs 28 and in Psalm 66, that their prayers are an abomination to the Lord. Surely you and I haven't gone so far away from God that God isn't interested in hearing what we have to say. If you're here this morning, God would like to hear, or this afternoon, sorry, God would like to hear from you. He would like to hear what you have to say. Real prayer. Prayer that comes from the heart. Not something that's read. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I was so excited that about 2 years ago, my father obeyed the gospel. When you start talking to him about participating in the service, he's nervous. Understandable. You know what? I said to him, I said, "You could say a prayer." And he goes, "Man, I don't know if I can think of the words." I said, "Make some notes. Put some notes on a note card. You're sitting in a pew by yourself. No one's going to know. Look at the notes." Now, I'm not saying we should have rehearsed prayers. Don't get me wrong. But we don't have to be eloquent in speech, especially when we're sitting alone in our home or even sitting with our wife or our children, taking an opportunity to speak to God. The Bible says in James 5, verse 16, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We often use this verse of Scripture to talk about praying for others who are having issues in their lives. But the key word here is the effectual fervent prayer. The heartfelt prayer. Speaking to God avails much. And I'm going to tell you this evening, afternoon, that speaking to God from the heart will mean something to God. It will mean something to you. Take an opportunity to do that. Thirdly, we're going to listen to God, say something to us. We're going to say something to God, and then we're going to say something for God. I already mentioned this morning the song in the book, We Are the World's Bible. But you and I need to be doing something, saying something for God every day. What do we say for God? Are we afraid to say things for God? Again, I work in a public school system. They're not really keen on the concept of me saying things about God. And I'm not bragging. I try to be careful about how I do it. But I take opportunities that I have to make comments. I can only hope that someday, somewhere, one of those kids will think of one of those comments and take time to maybe look it up somewhere and see if that was a Bible quote or if I was just making stuff up somewhere along the way. Many, many days go by that you and I do not speak up for God when we have opportunities to speak up for God. God uses us to speak to lost souls. Are you and I speaking to them? Are we saying things to them? Are we taking opportunities? We talked at lunch, and I hate to admit it, but I am pretty good at sarcasm. You know what? When we're talking to people about their souls, that's a pretty serious thing. Do we really understand how important it is for people to obey the gospel before it's too late for them to do that? If we really understood how important that was for our friends and our family to obey the gospel before it's too late, we'd say things for God. We'd speak to those people. Being honest and open this afternoon, one of the last conversations I had with my grandfather was an argument. He and I had never argued. We got in an argument over my dad and him not being a member of the church and whose fault that was. Crazy argument. You know what? I don't know whether it was something Granddad said or whether maybe it didn't even mean anything, but we started talking, or I started talking more frequently with my father about church things, and I didn't used to do that because it'd make him mad. I don't know. Do you think maybe that helped? Think maybe it made a difference? I didn't push him. We just talked about things. Again, Matthew chapter 5, we already read that this morning. We won't read it again. Verse 14 talks about us being the light of the world. If God is a light unto our feet, who's the light to the world? In our song, in the songbook, I believe there is a song. It says, "Brightly beams our Father's mercy from the lighthouse evermore." My grandfather loved that song. It's okay. But see, he was a sailor. And he knew what a lighthouse was and what it meant to the ships that were out on the ocean. And then he knew what the lights along the shore meant to those ships once they passed through the harbor and were looking for a port to anchor in. That meant something to him. Do we understand the importance of our light and it shining among men, saying something for God? The Bible teaches us that it is a joy, isn't it? When we have the opportunity to speak to someone about God and our conversation with them, either at that time or at some point in the future, makes a difference in their life. The Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice over sinners that repent. In James chapter 5, James chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, James says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one converteth him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." You ever done anything wrong and tried to hide it from your parents when you were younger, maybe, perhaps? Broke something, you hid it under the, I don't know, table, under a carpet somewhere, threw it in the trash, buried it. When we speak to someone about God, when we say things for God, the Bible says we hide a multitude of sins. You understand that we're not burying those under a carpet somewhere. We're allowing an opportunity for Jesus' blood to wash away those sins. They're gone. They're hidden from the face of God. We can convert people. We can lead people. But we've got to talk to people. And we've got to talk to them about God. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Paul tells the Philippians, he said, "Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." We are surrounded every day with opportunities to say something for God. Think about how different people's lives might be, because that's really what we're talking about, right? What we're doing for other people's lives, what we're doing for each other's lives. Think how different they would be if we followed this one thing: let your conversation be as becometh the gospel. I think of so much time I waste in a day talking about foolish stuff. Silly jokes and anecdotes and whatever. We could spend time talking about God. We could speak up for Him. And finally, to help us on our way of becoming that Christian that God would like for us to be, we should do something for God every day. Do something for Him. Our days are full of things that we do for ourselves. Our days are full of things that we do at our jobs, our work. But often in a day's time, we do nothing for God. We have opportunities to do things for God. And sometimes we think that for us to do something for God, it has to be some great big something. It doesn't. Just a few hours ago, we talked about the widow and her mites that she cast in. We don't have to. In our society, when you take time to share people or share with people about God, you understand what a great thing that is? People in our community, in our congregation, there's 12 of us, right? Okay, there were 14. Two of them moved to La Prada. I had hold no ill will toward La Prada for them moving over there. But they moved. They moved completely, okay? But my point here is they want to do some great things. They came and said, let's feed the poor. Let's feed the needy. Let's clothe the needy and all. And I thought, that's great. There's 12 of us. We're outnumbered by the needy. But you know, if you're waiting, and this congregation may do these things, and I'm not saying they're wrong at all, but if you're waiting on the congregation to put together a box for the needy people in this community, quit waiting on it. Put your own box together. We don't have to open the doors to a community hall and feed people, although if we do and can, that's a great thing. Not knocking that, but you could do it. We could do it. I could do it. I've got clothes that I can donate. We all have things that we can do something for God every day. We should look for opportunities, do we? Again, I'll use myself as an example. During a school day, I do not look for opportunities to work. But I should be. I should be looking for opportunities to do something. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. Let us do good to all men as we have an opportunity." We should look for those opportunities. Opportunities come our way every day. Many times we wait. We should make the opportunities. There are people who need our help. They may not be Christians, but they still need our help. You never know what a little gesture of kindness does to people. We have a doctor in our community whose mother used to live next door to our church. For years, she came there. She walked over. When she got to bad health where she couldn't walk anymore, we went over on Sunday nights after church and sang. I think that's really no big deal. But I'm going to tell you something that meant a whole lot to her family. They're not coming to church yet, but who knows? You never know what little deed that you might do, what little thing that you might say for someone or do for someone, that in the long run, when they look down the road, they get to thinking about that group of Christian men and women that meet over there off of that little farm-to-market road. We ought to go over there and see what's going on. Matthew 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men." We have an opportunity to be powerful influences for God and to exert a powerful influence just by being a humble, sincere Christian. You think about the people in your life that you think of that had the most impact on your life as a Christian, and that's what kind of people they were, weren't they? Just humble Christians doing God's work. I read a story, I believe it was about an evangelist. He might have even been a preacher, I don't know. His name was Raccoon John Smith. He was speaking in front of an audience. Everyone in the assembly was a preacher. And he said, "I want to know how many of you are here today because of some old gray-haired granny with a worn-out Bible. How many of us are here? How many of us are going to do something for God every day and be that old gray-haired granny, gray-haired grandpa?" God takes note of all we do. Did you know that? Nothing that we do for God is vain. I do things that are vain every day, right? Just going to work is useless. Because of all the things that I do at work and all the things I accumulate with the money I make at work, all that stuff in the long run means nothing. And Solomon tells us that everything that we do for God means something. It means something for God. It means something to God. It means something to us. God knows. Finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Lots of things you and I can do for God. Maybe a big thing, preaching from a pulpit, or it may be a little thing, sweeping the floor. Maybe a little thing, taking a meal over to somebody's house. We need to look for opportunities to do that. I want to encourage you as you go about the rest of this week and the rest of your life to start thinking about ways that you can be of real service to the kingdom of God. I know you already are. There's a lot of you that are already doing these things, and you're not blowing your horn and bragging about it, and you shouldn't be. You're doing these things. We need you to keep doing them, and we need more of us to work together to get more things done. Because when we work together, you think about all the great things that God's people have accomplished over the years. It's no different for you and I today. I encourage you to get your nose in the Bible, study from God's Word, and make an impact. Let that make an impact in your life and the lives of others.